So that's number six, Lee, in the bag, our latest podcast with Ryan Hayes.
It was good, wasn't it? I mean, Ryan knows his stuff, and I think that will come across in the episode. He talks in detail about the journey he's been on, and I think it'll be really interesting, especially for the advisors in the audience.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, I heard about the insolvency panel a lot when I was still the chief executive of the CSA, but I don't think I ever really knew what was actually happening, how significant it was. Ryan talks about, you know, the big take up during COVID and how it's just gone from strength to strength from there. So hopefully a good listen to everybody. I'm gonna cut to the quick and say, should we roll credits?
Just roll the credits,
shall we? Should we do it now?
Do it.
All right, here we go.
The Dead Tech Podcast with Peters and Lee.
No, it's not Peters and Lee, it's Peter and Lee.
I probably waffled a bit anyway. Do you think I went on a bit too long there?
I wasn't quite sure whether this was going to be a Monty Python scheme that I've come here for an argument or a debate.
We mustn't believe in Christmas, Ryan.
You haven't got an auto remover, have you?
No.
Did you work at Step Change as well?
No.
Just add that to you.
Ooh. Yeah.
I've got faith in both of you, so...
And a bloody good lawyer.
The Dead Tech Podcast with Peter and Lee.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Trustfolio's Dead Tech Podcast. I'm Lee Usher and I'm here with my co-host, Peter Walwork. Hi, Peter, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Lee. You okay?
I'm good, yes. It's a bit miserable outside here in the northeast, wet, windy and... cold, but apart from that, it's all good. And I'm delighted, though, to keep us warm today and toasty in terms of the conversation, Peter. We've got a very special guest. Both you and I have been anticipating this one for a few weeks now. We've got Mr. Ryan Hayes, who's joining us. Ryan is Trustfolio's COO for the advice sector. Previously headed Shelter's specialist debt advice team. Previous to that, founder of Simple Money Advice, father of two and husband, loving husband, all this good stuff about Ryan. The only negative thing I can say about him really is he's a Manchester United fan. Welcome, Ryan. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Lee. Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on your podcast. It's miserable here, but I've got you two, rays of sunshine, brighten up my day.
Is it raining in Manchester as well? That's a surprise.
It is. Yeah.
Stop it now.
So look, we've got lots and lots to cover today, Ryan. Some really interesting stuff, I'm sure, for our listeners. But as we normally do, we'll kick off with something a bit more personal. And going back to your Manchester United link, and you being a super fan, we've got to ask you about this Ronaldo interview. That is, I think it's airing tonight, isn't it? With Mr. Piers Morgan, his best mate at the moment. What's happening there?
I know, it's quite surprising. I know there was reports earlier in the season that he had some sort of truth to say. But I don't know if I'm quite a super fan. I'd say a big fan of Manchester United. I get there whenever I can, rain or shine, in respect of how we've been playing. But... you know, I've been a huge fan of Ronaldo. I'm actually in my office, got his autograph on the wall, but I was contemplating that might have to come down. I just don't like the way he's disrespected the club publicly. I think there are ways of dealing with things, and I'm sure there's more than a nugget of truth in what he's saying about how he's been treated. You know, he's a huge star, he's a great player. However, you know, I do think you can talk your mind without disrespecting the club. And, you know, he hasn't been performing that well this season. You can see that he's been reacting quite negatively on the pitch. Yeah. And, you know, every fan knows United haven't been doing great for quite some time now. So to just start airing that all out in public, you know, it's just unnecessary. So, no, not really happy with him, I must say.
I think he's, he's had a go at lots of people, some club legends, hasn't he, as well? So I keep going to say Mickey Rooney, Wayne Rooney. Gary Neville, the manager now, current incumbent, Ten Hag. So it'd be interesting to see how it all plays out. I mean, linking it back to what we do, fast communications, though. I mean, this if it was a newspaper story a few years back, it would have took a while, really, for the the message to get out there. But I was reading something, and within an hour or half an hour, maybe, of the first video teaser being uploaded, it had 3 million views on social media, and that's before the interviews actually aired. So anyway, interesting to see how it all plays out. But hey, that's enough about football, I think. Let's move on to the important stuff and what we've got for the theme of the podcast today. So Ryan, you've been in situ now at Trustfolio, leading on the advice sector engagement for over a year now, I think it is.
It's just over 18 months now since I joined. I'm working on the debt advisor support portal side of the organisation.
And what a signing you've been. I mean, from the early days of your joining to now, it's moved on leaps and bounds, additional functionality, lots more users. Just for those who don't know much about the Debt Advisor Support Portal, can you give us a little bit of a history there, whistle stop, how you got here, where you are now, what the services are that you offer, and who uses those, Ryan?
Certainly. So I'd been working at Shelter for 3.5 years. Prior to that, I'd had my own non-profit that I started with a business partner, Louise Marshall, who I used to work with the Housing Association. And we'd hoped to make debt advice and money advice generally, so including welfare benefits, including budgeting support, as efficient as possible. That was the aim of the CIC, and using technology to support that. Through things like budgeting support apps, ongoing support for a client after an advice session to help them manage money. We had developed an app. It was a system that would remind people how to and when to pay their important bills. And if they had an issue they were struggling, it was a message system with a debt advisor. So I'm very interested in data tech, how that can make the advice process more effective and more efficient. So moving on to Shelter, I had the privilege of working with a team of experts who had been in the sector for some time, lots of experience. And what they did was support frontline client-facing debt advisors when they got a complex query. So again, it's about spreading the expertise and the difficulties within debt advice and making it more efficient and helping an advisor and supporting them, but in a different way with technical knowledge and support. And in my time at Shelter, I'd met our CEO, Louise Yates, at a few conferences, the IMA conference. We really got on. I loved her enthusiasm. She's great in terms of her entrepreneurial mind and thinking outside the box on how to do things. And that's how I like to look at things. So I received a communication from Lou to see if I wanted to work with TIP, because during the pandemic and home working for debt advisors, TIP, or the Insolvency Panel, was providing credit reports. And that was a company that Lou had started, but with a different purpose than supporting the debt advisor. The main purpose was to put insolvency practitioners who had a good reputation, looked after their clients, in touch with advisors who were giving impartial and comprehensive advice in the nonprofit sector. So she built a web portal to do that. So an advisor could refer clients through for an IVA. On the back of that, Lou would provide free access to credit reports from TransUnion and Experian through that web portal. So she contacted me on the back of a booming demand for those credit reports. However, I've been a free sector debt advisor for 5 years prior to starting my nonprofit, and I know there's not a lot of IVAs in that arena. So there weren't many referrals coming through the portal, and the idea was that funds from the referrals would fund the credit reports and the service. But it wasn't working out, or that business model wasn't working out, because the demand was so high for the data. So Lou and I had a few conversations prior to me joining. This was around May of last year, and it was clear to me that inadvertently Lou had created something that was supporting debt advisors with a crucial problem they had, which is, the problem is, how do we gather information quickly and effectively to support our clients in a debt advice session? And having been in that situation, you get clients with unopened envelopes, they don't know what they go to where, and it doesn't cover all the debts, but a credit report will solve that problem quite quickly. And Lou's delivery method was instant. So the client has to provide consent only. I don't think there's another provider who offers it on that basis. So it's very quick to obtain it. And it doesn't matter if the client's digital capable. So this was really a remarkable service already. And the idea was then, well, how do we make this into a self-sustaining service? So we developed it into the Debt Advisor Support Portal. Lou and yourselves were working on Trustfolio, and you know, at the beginning of this year, of 2022, we merged the Debt Advisor Support Portal into the Trustfolio suite of services. And, you know, now we're providing the credit reports still. The benefits are huge, saving time for debt advisors. Their clients aren't having to gather as much information. They're contacting creditors quicker. It's been, you know, getting that information at the beginning was the biggest task for me, because did we really understand the impact it was having? You know, this, it was clearly in high demand, but did we really know how much benefit was being achieved from supplying the credit reports in this way? And we've had reports from agencies that are using the reports at the beginning of every advice session. So they're aggregating those benefits rather than maybe when they're dealing with a debt relief order that's further down the line, get them at the start. And reports of averages of 20% reduction in the number of appointments per client, hugely significant. Increased accuracy, less clients dropping off because they're waiting for reports in the post.
Can I just go back to that? So the 20% reduction in clients, Ryan, what do you mean by that? So there's less people needing to go through a full advice session.
Sorry, Lee, 20% reduction in appointment per client. So on average, an agency we spoke to was seeing, on average, a client five appointments. And that reduced to four.
Got you, right, Kim. Got you. Wow. Impressive.
Huge impact. So we now offer credit reports still from the two providers, open banking, so you can get digital bank statements for the clients if they've got online banking very quickly with client consent, and the IP panel, which has just been reintroduced. So, you know, harking back to that legacy of TIP, we charge a low amount for these reports because the charities haven't got huge budgets. They're not able to spend a lot of money on this service, but we still have to sustain it. And that was a lengthy discussions with Lou about where do we make sure in terms of price point that charities are going to be able to benefit from this. We're not taking anything away from them, but also, you know, it's got to try and be a sustainable service. So with the IP panel, the option is to refer an IVA through the system to one of our IPs who signed up to a charge for good practice. And if we receive funds back from that IP, we'll split it 50-50. We'll keep 50% to develop the service and fund it. And we'll also donate 50% to a place of the advice provider's choosing. So some have picked the IMA, who provides training to debt advisors, some to fund access to our services, some using trust funds, national or local, or Advice UK trust funds. So
could it be used to pay for things like DROs? If advisors wanted to cover the cost of DROs?
That's a really good question. That is something that we asked for feedback to inform this, and that's something that our advisors did ask for. However, to do that, we'd have to manage applications and the pot of money. It's quite a complicated thing to do, and with resource in mind, it wasn't possible. However, some users do have a local trust fund where they have asked the funds to be donated to, and they have the option within that trust fund for clients to apply for DRO and bankruptcy fees. So yes, but not directly through us.
Right, got it.
And can I ask, we do charge now, or DASP charges the debt advisors for the credit reports and some of the services, but we've been able to keep that as a very, very competitive sort of low cost.
Yes, I mean, we're quite open about that. It's £1 plus VAT per credit report and per bank statement linked for a client. So it's quite low cost. And if you're looking at the benefits purely on a time saving basis, you know, it does pay for itself. It's the price of a stamped addressed envelope, and they were sending those out most of the time to get credit reports anyway. So we think that's reasonable and worthwhile. And, you know, we don't give preferential pricing to larger organizations because we have food banks that use us, and we want to ensure that regardless of where the client goes, they're getting access to the same level of quality of advice, or the same level of data and tools are available to the advisors regardless of where the client is accessing support.
So Ryan, how many advisors are using this now?
So I've just checked before the call, we're on 1,011 debt advisors now.
Wow. I've done something which I probably shouldn't have done, but I've just done some maths there as you've been talking. So if we've got 1,000 advisors using this, you're seeing a sort of a 1 in 5 reduction in appointments. So could you equate that to a 20% time saving in terms of how many hours they spend supporting customers per week?
I think they're spending the same amount of time supporting their customers, but they're probably seeing more clients.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, then.
Yeah.
So 20% reduction in time is going elsewhere to new clients. So rough estimate, I'm thinking that's 7,000 hours per week being saved.
Yeah, it's
now, that's my maths.
That's some serious maths being done here.
That's amazing. And I've seen some of your case studies and your webinars that you've done, and you talk about this. I've seen the feedback you've had from the advice sector, advisors using this, including people like Christians Against Poverty and other citizens' advice advisors as well. So, I mean, it's amazing, really, just to see how efficient, how much more efficient advisors can be using that type of technology, I suppose, and digital solution.
Yeah, and harking back to, you know, how I got here, it really is genuinely interesting to me. So I feel like the stars have aligned for me a bit with this position because, you know, it's really something I'm passionate about.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, it's important that, and I try and get this across where I can, it's not just all about those numbers. If that advisor doesn't see 20% more people, or, you know, maybe it's not even 20%, but say it's less than that, but it's going to be around there. If they're not seeing 20% more people, there should be a balance between them being able to deliver more holistic casework and spend more time with the client, because, you know, they are under some pressure, I know, to turn things around quicker. So it's not all about numbers for us. It's also about the quality and the rapport they build, the relationship with the client. Are they able to speak about underlying issues rather than just maybe firefighting with every client? If we can give more and more efficiency to help in that respect, yeah, that would be a huge driver as well.
100%, I agree. And I suppose, just playing devil's advocate, there is certain organisations who would be interested in just the numbers, though. Money and Pension Service being one. So I'm assuming they're interested in what you're doing. Are you engaged with Money and Pension Service?
Yes. I mean, initially when, you know, I took over running the service, we kept the same kind of service, but we really redesigned the system to make it more focused on debt advisors and easier to navigate. And at that time, we're engaged with MAPS. We have been on and off. We are always open to funding, so we don't have to charge the agencies. But what's happened in reality, Community Money Advice, you know, I'd like to mention them. They've been a huge support from day one. They've funded this service for all of their members. And we're speaking now with Advice UK, working closely with them. They see the value in this, and trying to roll it out to more of their members. It's early days. I don't want to speak too much about what we're doing with Advice UK, but we are working very closely with them, and hopefully we'll be speaking to their members soon. So,
yeah,
you know, a lot of the membership organisations that we've spoken to and advice services, they're very much in touch with the frontline client-facing debt advice process, and that's been, you know, really rewarding to work with those sorts of organisations that get it and understand the challenges faced by those frontline advisors.
Yeah. Big shout out to Advice UK. I agree. I've been lucky enough to be involved in some of the meetings you've invited me along to, and those guys have been really important part of your journey, I know. So, yeah, it's important to recognise that. The other thing I hear you're talking about a lot as well is you use the phrase, we're not here to replace advisors, we're here to support advisors. What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't know if it's still on our strap line. I'm sure it's on the website, but it's supporting debt advisors and not replacing them. You know, we strongly support the need for debt, face-to-face debt advice. And there are different levels of advice that gets received. If you are a national telephone advice service and a client goes there, they're much less likely to get ongoing casework and challenge maybe unaffordable debts or those sorts of things. It's much more likely they'd be looked at as a, what holistic solution can we find for all your debts? Whereas a face-to-face advice service, much more likely to get ongoing casework and things like you know, agreements may be challenged. So we support the need for face-to-face debt advice, but it's really difficult, complex needs. You know, it's really challenging to deliver that sort of advice. And what I know from my experience and working at Shelter is the complexities of debt advice are so vast, and I've done it myself. You know, and I always, when I speak to friends who and colleagues or people I know who don't work and have any knowledge of this sector, and try to explain why face-to-face advice is so important, is I compare it to a mortgage. If you've got some complex issue, you're going for a first-time mortgage or a remortgage, and you maybe are self-employed or something like that, you probably want a mortgage advisor. If you've got multiple different debts governed by, you know, potentially different acts, the Consumer Credit Act, some not, some are local authority debts, maybe rent arrears, you need housing advice, you know, that's going to be complicated. And the person who's going to have to resolve those issues is going to have a lot of expertise. So what we want to do is help them to focus on the advice and not replace them, not do the job for them, just help that information gathering go more smoothly. And, you know, at the same time, if we can introduce them to solutions providers like IPs who are going to look after their client, then we'll do that as well.
The three of us were at the Money Advice Liaison Group annual conference last week in Birmingham. And we once again heard this sort of forecast of, you know, a tidal wave of people in financial difficulties and requiring advice. And I think, you know, we've heard this, of course, for a long time. We've heard it all over the COVID pandemic, and yet that didn't really come to fruition as many people thought it would, largely because, of course, of things like furlough and the income support schemes. But I know that we picked up a lot of demand for the credit reports, Ryan, during COVID. What was that? Was that down to the fact that we just made the service available, or was it to do with COVID, or what really happened?
Yeah, there was a lot of talk about increased demand at that time, and it was put off with forbearance measures. But the demand for the portal went up. It was already available, so I think word spread quite quickly with advisors home working. You can get credit reports with consent. You get the creditor list. The client's not with you. And once they'd seen the benefits, they carried on using it, even when they went back to their old ways of working. So that was huge learning for us, that it's not just a case of these are great in certain circumstances. The system works at home. It works in all settings. You know, Rethink Mental Illness are using us for breathing space. So if the client's in severe difficulty, mental health crisis, the fact that you only need their consent and you can get the credit report, it's enabling even those clients to get access to support and advice through breathing space quickly and effectively.
So Ryan, on the basis, I suppose, that we do see an increase in demand for advice, and I get what Peter's saying, that there's been sort of projections and predictions of this before, and it hasn't quite happened. I think we're in a different place now, and potentially we will see the increase in need, if not demand. How are your sort of tools evolving in terms of what you will be offering? And I'm thinking about refining things like Open Bank and how that will be used going forward.
Yeah, I mean, we've discussed this in in internal meetings, and getting Open Banking to work properly and effectively is a challenge. I think that there certainly will be an increase in demand and need. The Open Banking system we introduced, the use and demand for that was lower than anticipated, and there's a few pinch points there. So our Open Banking system, a client goes through a quick customer journey. So first of all, they need to be willing to release 3 months bank statements, and the advisor, we're working with advisors, they need to know how to pitch that to the client to encourage them to do it. The benefits, you know, you're going to get quicker, more accurate advice. That's something we're working on now. The 3 months bank statements were really useful, having that sort of information at your fingertips within minutes of the client completing that journey, or within seconds, is a huge time saver for the advisor. But we did some outputs that are based on categorization of the Open Banking transactions that are provided by our supplier, Equifax. And the categorization would group things together and calculate them for the advisor. And what we're finding is the advisors have to verify that. So I have to go back into the statement, check through our SFS template or our, we've done a financial standing report, we've called it, grouping together income, certain debits, fixed bills, just double checking them. So I think what we're learning, you know, speaking to Community Money Advice, been a great help with feedback. Got 50 Citizens Advice bureaus getting feedback from them. They're using us now, and we have got a lot of feedback from our advisory board, which you're a member of, Lee. Yeah. So what we're understanding now is we have tried to do too much with that service, and what would be better is if we categorize the transactions by grouping together on a month-by-month basis. How much has the client spent at Tesco? How much have they spent at Sainsbury's, Amazon, on fuel? DVLA might be in there. And it goes back to that helping the advisor. It's better informing that discussion around income and outgoings rather than trying to do it for them.
Yeah. And I suppose that's the key. In the past, advisors have, lots of advisors I've spoken to or read comments from on social media, there's been a reluctance to accept open banking as an effective tool in the box type of thing. But I think it's how it's positioned. And as you say, it's something that complements the advice process as opposed to replaces it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we'll see something similar to the credit report system. We've got some advisors who are using it and really see the benefits, and though their influence will grow. And I hope there's no event like COVID that drives the adoption up significantly. However, it may be just that the amount of demand coming now might drive it up. But it's only for those clients who've got online banking. They do have to go through a quick online journey. So it's not for all clients. But we're just trying to get more and more information quickly, accurately, as easily as possible. And then the other thing we're working on now is getting that data and porting it into a case management system. So we're working on an API with Advice UK and Advice Pro. So an API will basically give the data points that sit behind the credit reports, such as the list of debts, and they can be ported straight into a case. We're hoping to make our credit report service available directly within Advice Pro. And so you'll obtain the credit reports either from our system or from Advice Pro directly. And the idea is that then the creditor list will automatically populate. So even more reduction in copying and pasting them over and admin work for the advisor. Beyond that, we've got some other plans in place to see if that same API from Advice Pro could be used for other case management systems. So we've got a lot of cabs using us. Can we port the debt straight into Casebook, which is their case management system? So spreading the reach of our tools and developments further.
Peter, I mean, I could talk to you for hours about this, but Peter, is there any other questions? I'm just mindful of the time and keeping the episodes as succinct as we can. Is there any other questions from you?
I think the only thing that I thought of, just to sort of wrap up a little bit, is just what where we're going next with the offering from DASP. I think I overheard in one of the calls we had recently that there's been a refresh of some of the services that we're offering. What sort of timescale have we got on those?
Well, we're tidying up the portal a bit. We've had some suggestions around layout, aesthetics, training we can offer to our users. So we're working on some background bits and pieces there. Also, some information for clients about who we are, who Trustfolio are, what's DASP, what does it do? Encourage them to provide the consents needed by the advisor. Also, I mentioned the open banking outputs. What I'd like to develop is a financial statement tool that works for the SFS and the CFS, where a client can receive a link from their debt advisor, go online, have a very simple form, and opt in to include their data in that form. So it would pre-populate some of the I&E, some of the creditors list, they fill in the blanks, hopefully nice and quickly. It pulls all that information through along with household makeup, details of any assets, what time you're free to talk, straight into Advice Pro and other case management system along with the credit reports and the bank statements. Almost doing that information gathering process up front before the advice session with the time that the client is available. So that's, I'd say, our open banking phase two development. And we're also working to see if we can get other debt solutions on the portal. Can we get beyond the IP panel? There's going to be DRO hubs, as we know from the MAPS funding announcement. Can we have an option to refer a case through to a DRO hub provider? Can the system refer for different types of advice? If we've got a debt advisor speaking with a client, that client needs housing support, can that advisor refer that client through to Shelter, who We've got a housing specialist, can work on the case, resolve that issue, and that advisor doesn't even have to speak to the client. Their initial advisor can be the liaison point, resolve the housing issue, whilst the initial contact, the initial advisor, works on all the other bits and bobs. And the same for welfare benefits advice. Can our system be a centralized hub where a client is receiving all sorts of different advice and support with data supporting that in the background and making it as efficient as possible? So I think there's a lot of possibilities and exciting times ahead. I think we're just on the cusp now of turning a corner, working with Advice UK, continuing to work with Community Money Advice to make this portal into something that you know, it benefits us to get this in front of as many advisors as possible, as soon as possible. But there's a huge need for it now. The advisors need these systems and data tools in front of them as soon as possible before the demand gets so high that it you know, becomes unmanageable. Hopefully we can help with that.
Fantastic.
Well, Ryan, it certainly sounds like you're going to be very busy over the next weeks, months and beyond. So good luck with all of that. People who want to find out, maybe as advisors who are interested to know more, I'm assuming they can find out more at the website, which is www.trustfolio.co.uk. The email address, info@trustfolio.co.uk. Anything else in terms of contacting yourself for more information?
That's it. I mean, if you contact Peter or Lee to save me a bit more time with all this work, they did say they'd help me with some admin. So
yeah. Free. Well, look, that's brilliant. Really interesting, fascinating stuff, and we get a sort of glimpse of that in our sort of meetings. But it's good to hear the detail behind that and just how it's going from strength to strength. So, thank you for your time, Ryan, Peter. I think that's another episode done and dusted. Cheers, Ryan. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, guys.
So that's podcast number 6 all wrapped up. Well done for sticking the course. I hope you enjoyed listening to us talking with Ryan. I know Lee and I certainly did. Remember to look out for podcast number 7, which we'll be recording in the next few weeks. We'll be talking this time to Sarah Naylor from Dukes and asking her how digital resources can be better used to help customers in financial difficulty when interacting with enforcement firms. In the meantime, if you'd like to know a bit more about what we lovingly call Debt Tech, head over to trustfolio.co.uk on the World Wide Web.